The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
All right. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett coming to you live once again from the Masters. We are at the Azalea House in Augusta, Georgia. It is Friday, April the 7th, so day two of the official tournament, although we've been here for about 3.5 weeks or something like that, it seems. We still have another 3 weeks to go before it's all said and done. We'll give you some updates on the leaderboard and keep you updated as much as we can. We certainly know that you listen to our podcast at all different times, so some of this might be dated, but for a lot of you, you might be hearing it for the very first time, and certainly to our audience here at Azalea House and the people around us, this is all new to them, so that's what we're giving you. And the leaderboard right now, not a lot different than when we last left you after the first round. Charlie Hoffman still has the lead, although he's done a little bit of a roller coaster. He started today with a 7-under score after a 65 yesterday and had a very, very comfortable lead. As a matter of fact, the largest lead after one round at the Masters since 1955 when Frank was a senior at Ole Miss.
And what? Now, what?
Did I miss that by a year or two?
Yeah, like, let's try 20. And it was 76,
and,
by the way.
And what was?
I was a senior, yes.
So Hoffman started with his 65, but then promptly birdies the second hole, which a lot of people are doing. Although the first hole here at Augusta, and we'll talk about the wind conditions again, a lot like yesterday. First hole, very, very tough. But he gets a birdie, so he goes to 8-under. But then at 6, he comes back with a bogey to drop back to 7 again. Then bogeys the 7th hole to go to 6-under. That's where he stands right now. He's on the 8th hole. And again, we'll keep you updated. But right now he has a 3-shot lead. Oh, my God. It just came in the official leaderboard. He bogeyed 8 as well.
3 bogeys in a row.
3 straight bogeys.
Whoa.
Frank, what's your dog's name?
Bogey.
Okay. Charlie Hoffman now owns Frank's dog.
Bogey? No, he does not. I love Bogey the Wonder Dog.
Bogey the Wonder Dog is caddying for Charlie Hoffman.
He's coming home from vacation Bible school today.
Oh, that's so good to know.
I know it.
So now Charlie Hoffman is down to 5-under par. We talked about this before.
Everybody's going backwards.
I did not have a good feeling about Charlie Hoffman matching or even really coming close to what he did yesterday. I thought at best he might be around par, and he's not even there yet. But we'll see. He's going to make the turn here shortly, but 3 straight bogeys. And that means that Sergio Garcia is the closest to him right now. Sergio started the day at 2-under. He also birdied the second hole. Then he birdied the third hole to go to 4-under. Then he bogeyed the fourth hole. So he is now at 3-under. And you're right, everybody's kind of going backwards. So Sergio is 2 shots behind Hoffman. And then William McGirt's the only guy that's finished so far as we go on. He started the day at 2-under. He got it to 4-under. And he finished the day with a bogey on 18 to 2-under. And by my account, that looks like he should have been even par, but I believe he shot a 1-over.
So maybe
I'm missing something. Oh, I'm sorry. He started 3-under. He birdied the first hole. He started 3-under, and he finished at 2. So he shot a 1-over 73 today. So McGirt is in the clubhouse at 2-under.
Moore and McIlroy are both 1-under par. It's tightening up. This whole leaderboard is going to tighten up today. This isn't moving day.
No.
This is do or die day.
Well, we'll see. We haven't mentioned an awful lot of guys, and there's some very good golfers, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, that are still yet to tee off, that are 1-under par. And Andy Sullivan is also at 1-under. 1-under is a big number. John Rahm, a guy that a lot of people have eyes on because of how well he's been playing, the Spaniard, lately. And he started today at 1-under and has gotten it to even. So he had a birdie on the second hole, and he's now even par, John Rahm. So another guy to keep your eye on. Jordan Spieth, as we know, blew up yesterday after having a pretty good round going until the 15th hole when he got a quad, which is hard to do on any hole, but it's really hard on a par 5 when you lay up. But everything kind of went sideways for him. Shot a 9 on the 15th hole, and he'll start today a little bit later. He's one of the last groups to go off. He'll start at 3 over par. But if everybody starts coming back, you know, 3 over, if he shoots par and he's still 3 over, certainly anything's possible. A lot of these guys that we're talking about, we'll talk about, have a shot at, as long as you can kind of hang around par today.
O'Meara through 16 is 11 over. And guess who else is 13 over through that number? Roberto Castro.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I can't believe that.
There's some.
Rod Pampling is 8 over, and he's in for the day. So, yeah, boy. Ian Woosnam's 10 over par through 16 holes.
It is a little bit, you know, Jim Furyk is 8 over. It is. You normally see the older, the Vijay Singhs and the guys that have been playing or are invited back, Marco Mira, as you mentioned, You don't normally see a lot of the younger guys like Castro get to 13 over, but that's just something's going on with the swing and his confidence and everything else. And I think at some point you kind of mentally check out, right? I mean, at some point you don't realize that or you do realize that you can't really make the cut. So you're like, okay,
VJ's
call,
not
the,
over.
Call the jet. Let's take a look and see.
VJ, what? Playing like that, you get a Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
VJ is 9 over through, looks to be 10 holes.
Yeah, it looks
number
like
10.
Was it 10? Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's on 10 or something.
Did you see VJ this
Danny
morning?
Danny Willett 6 over. I mean, defending champion.
Defending champion.
And he's having a hard time today.
Did you see VJ on the practice range this morning?
No, I didn't see him.
He had on a hoodie,
I didn't
stocking
see him.
Cap,
yeah.
A baseball
and his
cap.
His visor over top of it.
He was freezing today.
Yeah.
Poor
guy. Yeah. Looked like Chris Domain.
Manager, by the way, of our host, Azalea House. Great place to be. You can still get here. AzaleaHospitality.com. You need to check them out.
We mentioned some of the guys and the older guys. Bernhard Langer, remember last year, and he's 6 over. So he's heading the wrong way. Started the day at 3 over and is already 3 over on today's round, still on the 7th hole.
Yeah.
But Bernhard Langer made the cut last year.
I know he did.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was not shocking because he's still obviously a very effective golfer, but not having the same year this year that he had last year. 6 over, it looks like he's again, not even to the turn. Looks like he might be getting the early plane ride out. The guys, you know, a lot of these guys fly privately. Do you think they all, like, coordinate with each other?
Some do.
I'm going to miss the cut. Could you just miss the cut with me, and then we can both get on the plane and we'll get out of here? I don't have to wait around for you, right? Let's just miss the
wheels
cut.
Up, net jet, otherwise, and Greyhound bus, depending on how you play.
Otherwise, you're on your own, baby. You're on your own. Sneds is right there with Spieth at 3 over. Adam Scott's 3 over. I mean, Gary Woodland. I mean, there's some good golfers at 3 over. So, again, a lot of these guys that seemingly had bad days yesterday or is not as good as they wanted, because the wind is up again, we're talking out of the northwest, the wind, with gusts up to 30 miles an hour, and it's chilly, Frank. I mean, we're doing the show from outside here, and when the sun hits you, it's a nice day. But when you're in the shade, it's cold.
You know,
wind blows, it feels like it's 45 degrees.
You know, where I threw your headset at the first of the week, I thought, boy, I've got Tim set. He's going to be right here cooking in the sun. Now, you have the sun, and I'm in the shade, and this is cold.
So your strategy didn't work, huh?
No, it did. My strategy did not work. Speaking of people missaying names and words, and have you heard some of the announcers on TV this past week?
No, I don't know what you're saying.
Some of them are just kind of messing up words.
We can only correct so many, because I've been known to mess up a few things myself in the last 45 years.
Yeah, me too. Hey, the steaks were good last night, by the way, Tim. Great cooking.
Thank you.
Tim grilled the steaks last night. And Bill Conwell picked up the steaks
from
Pin High Vodka.
And found some baked potatoes that you can put in a microwave and cook in 2-3 minutes or something, right?
I've never done that before.
And they were good.
I've never done that before.
With the cellophane on.
Yeah. But taking it off was a real thrill.
I would have thought that was a real problem.
My fingertips are burned.
I didn't know you could even do that. I thought the whole thing would be a melting mush
inside
the microwave.
I'm going to try eggs tomorrow morning in the microwave. Think that'll work?
Try that. Why don't we get a chef?
I think the Fordham's gorgeous home will be destroyed when we're through with them.
It was a good meal. We had a little bit of wine.
They turned the pool up to 85 degrees.
They have to go up to 90 to get me in there.
120.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
make it a jacuzzi before I'm in there,
baby.
It's cold.
We even turned the heat on in the house before we left because it was chilly in that house. It was like 65 degrees.
Well, you had to do a radio hit back in Dallas this morning. You're out on the patio freezing to death talking on the radio.
I was a little chilly. The wind was blocked, but it's the only place I could get some peace and quiet. And,
not in our house.
It's definitely affecting the golfers. I mean, to see the wind out of the and it's affecting the first hole for sure. First hole is playing very tough. It's right now playing as the toughest hole on the course. And if anybody has either seen it or certainly been here, long par 4 dogleg up to the right, and it's uphill. And if you haven't been here in person, it's up a hill a lot more than you think it is. You think it's a little bit level, a little bit high ride. It goes straight up. And so a lot of the guys' drives are leaving them with long, long irons, maybe even a hybrid into that green.
You can't
hold it. Tucked around the corner there. And, if you don't keep it on there, it's averaging right now. It's a par 4. I think it's averaging about 4.6.
Yeah, I thought it was 4.7 something the last one
maybe
I heard.
Maybe it's 4.7.
Yeah, right
and 11 is also – people are having a hard time, which they always do.
Yeah.
And 11 is averaging. And what's cool about the configuration of this golf – well, everything's cool about it. But down there at Amen Corner, if you've been here, if you haven't, 11 – dog leg downhill to the right plays 505. Now it's downhill a little bit,
par 3.
But for a lot of these guys, it's still playing 200 yards on their second shot.
Yeah.
And you can't go left, and the wind is swirling and blowing. So what happens is almost everybody bails out to the right. And the 12th, you know how most golf courses have a little trail or something from one green to the next tee box.
Oh yeah,
well, not here.
Not there.
It's one constant green that goes to a little bit of a swale, and then there's the 12th tee box. So a lot of times, guys on the 12th tee box have to stand back and wait while the guys are chipping on 11 because they're only 20 yards to their left.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there, but that's where everybody bails out.
Hard, so depending on the wind today, on their tee box.
You're not in the water, yeah. So 11's also playing very difficult for a lot of these guys today. We'll see. Again, we've talked about Charlie Hoffman bogeying three straight holes to be at 5 under. Right now, he hasn't gotten to Amen Corner yet, so we'll see exactly how that shows up. And again, when you get a bogey on a par five like he did on number eight, that's a bad sign. I mean, it's not quite the nine that Spieth had. But you bogey par fives, because Augusta is gettable if you can get the par fives. And we were talking on the way in, we were listening to some guys on the radio, and they were talking about the strategy, though.
Don't know who they were.
Of Zach Johnson.
Yeah, he did. Zach.
Which was par fives. I'm not going to get there in two. So.
No. 10 years ago, as a matter of fact, this is the 10th anniversary of Zach Johnson's win here at Augusta. And Zach's strategy was to play all the par fives laying up.
Yeah.
And he did the whole week, and it worked.
And it worked.
He won.
And it worked. Because he didn't – every one of them is a temptation. We were talking about this. And certainly 13, if you get a good drive, 15, you're like, okay, it's 240, but it's a little downhill. I can carry that one. I mean, it's a risk, but it's something a lot of guys go for. If you're not a big bomber like he's not.
No.
He just said, I'm not even going to try to be tempted. Let me just lay up short, and I'll make my birdies with a nice chip shot and a putt. And he did it. And so it works. So we'll see what Charlie Hoffman's strategy is as he gets to Amen Corner, then on for 13 and 15. Again, he's already bogeyed. He did birdie the first par five. That was the second hole, but he bogeyed number eight. And you got to get those par fives. You got to, at some
That's
point,
where you got to score.
By Sunday, you've got to be like 8 under on just those par fives if you hope to have a chance.
Well, you know, this morning we were talking. I said, you and I disagreed. I said, you know what? I think 10 under today, 10 under par will be the leader at the close of business today. I'm not sure about that right now. Everybody's going backwards.
I think anybody that could get to 10 under would be doing an Irish jig in the clubhouse. Because, yeah, I think 10 under would be – obviously, Hoffman was the closest had a chance.
Yeah.
Everybody else, to get to 10 under, you're talking about guys that are, you know, 2 under, 1 under to start the day. They're going to have to go 7, 8, 9 under.
Yeah, no, but Hoffman went to 8 under, and I thought, okay, I'm going to win the bet. And no, it didn't happen. Going backwards.
And he hit a curve, lost a rim. Yeah, no. Yeah. Now he's having trouble in the backstretch. So, but that is Augusta, and that's the fun of it is, you know, the we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week is, you know, a lot of golf courses are set up. If you're talking about Oakmont and Shinnecock and some of these other major championship golf courses, the difficulty is the layout in the high greens and in the high rough and the fast greens. And there's nothing that's really visually difficult about Augusta. It's beautiful to see, but the rough's not too bad.
No.
The fairways are perfect. The greens are,
there's no rough.
So in a lot of ways it is A, the wind, and that's what we've had the last 2 days, yesterday and today. And then there's a between your ears
the intimidation
part of it that you're
factor.
Like, God, I don't want to blow it here at the Masters. It's the Masters. It's the Masters. And that's got to weigh on these guys as they're hitting every shot. At some point, you got to say, well, how was Jordan Spieth 98 yards when he laid up on 15 yesterday and you're 98 yards out? How does that translate into a nine? I mean, you're sitting good. You're like, okay, hit a 9 iron, a wedge, whatever you're going to hit from 98 yards. And I put it, and you end up with a nine. It's because
in the words of
a great old comedian
called it Dane Bramage.
Yeah,
it was definitely Dane Bramage.
You get to overthinking, and that's what happens here. So I don't know if that was Bobby Jones' intention to say, well, what's going to be the difficult part for the best golfers in the world? He's going to say, well, they're just going to be psyched out thinking about playing at Augusta. I don't know if he thought that, but that certainly, I think, comes into play as these guys try to make their way through the second round here and not get affected by brain damage and try to finish the round and get into red figures if they can. There aren't a lot of guys in red figures, but get into red figures and try not to let the winds bother you too much. So we're going to take a quick break here. Again, we're coming to you from the Masters, the Azalea House. Go to azaleahospitality.com to find out more about Azalea House and all the great events that you could be a part of with them. They do much more than just the Masters. They do Super Bowls and they do bowl games. They also do a lot of NCAA Final Fours, Ryder Cup, you name it. If it's a big event,
Derby, did you say Derby?
Kentucky Derby, then the Derby. Azalea House is your place. So go to azaleahospitality.com for more on that. All right, Frank and I will return. We're coming to you from the Azalea House at the Masters, and Golf Talk America will return right after this. All right, welcome back, Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett coming to you live from the Azalea House in Augusta, Georgia. It is Friday, February the 7th. midway, I would say, a little bit past midway of the second round of the Masters Tournament. And the leaderboard keeps going up and down, but mostly going backwards. And at this point, when we're coming to, Charlie Hoffman, who started at 7-under, got it to 8-under, then got it down to 3-under, and just birdied 13, and he is now at 4-under. But that, of course, means he's 3-over on today's round. Oof. Sergio Garcia started at 1-under, got it to 4-under when he birdied number 9, and then he triple bogeyed number 10, and now he is at 1-under.
How did he triple bogey number 10?
I did not see the details on number 10.
How did he
I'm guessing he didn't hit it in the water.
No, I don't think it was in the water on number 10.
Yeah, so I don't know. It must have hit it into the bad drive, and it had a punch out, I'm guessing.
I thought I had to bet one this morning at 10-under at the end of the day, but it looks like it's going to be one before it's all said and done. Everybody's going totally backwards right now here. What is it? What happened?
Ten is. No, go ahead. Continue.
We are live here at the Azalea House. They're our host and have been our host on the PGA Tour as we go to most of the tournaments during the year. Tim Matthews, Frank Bassett here, and we have some friends joining us that are also here at the Azalea House. We've got some hitting bays in the back for our guests who want to come by, and that would be...
Who made the hitting bays? Whose are those? Whose hitting bays are those?
I think it's a company called Flight Scope.
Flight Scope?
Flight Scope, which is not... It is the premier launch monitor. Flight Scope. Two Flight Scope things. Introduce Alex.
Alex Trujillo, sales manager.
Welcome in, Alex.
He's here with Tyler Burnett, but Tyler
scared.
Tyler apparently scared. Hadn't paid his taxes. He was a little bit worried.
Tyler's personal cell phone number
somebody
is
was going to find out where he is. The government wanted him, so Tyler's like, no, don't say anything about me being here.
IRS.
Yeah.
God
I'm sorry,
them.
Tyler. We've given up on yeah. We'll visit you in
Hey, welcome, Alex. Thank you for being here. Let me get your microphone turned up. I made a faux pas here. Faux pas.
So tell us what Flight Scope does. For people that don't know.
Yep. We're a launch monitor. We 3D Doppler tracking. We've been in the business for close to about 30 years now. We do defense, golf, baseball, getting into other sports as well. Basically we provide users with about 28 data parameters, include ball and club. And we can tell you anything from your club path to your face angle of attack, whatever you want to know.
Did you say defense?
Yes.
As in U.S. Defense Department?
We do...
Frank?
We do
Are we getting
tracking
inside
radars.
This area here? Inside?
We do
inside.
Tracking radars for 23 countries in the world.
Really?
Yes.
See, Frank's going to go down that road with you here.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk golf. And Frank's like, can you tell me more about what's coming up tomorrow? Are they going to be bombing
What's going to happen
else?
Tonight?
Well, I served 10 years, so I got little insight.
God bless
Thank you.
Thank
you for your service.
Good job.
What did you do in the military? And what branch?
I was a tanker, Army.
You were in the tank?
Yeah. I was a tanker.
Wow. Oh, tanker.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So I did 16 months in Iraq and 10 years total.
We're glad you're here with us.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. So.
Absolutely.
That's what
absolutely, everybody. Yeah.
Can Flight Scope, I mean, a lot of people sometimes say that, you know, they get too much information in your head and it kind of messes you up. But I happen to like seeing a lot of those details and knowing that I'm hitting the ball too much left or right or too much spin and all that. It's kind of a fine line, though, sometimes, isn't it? About giving somebody too much that bogs them down, but at the same time, you got to give them some information to help them.
You know, I like to say it's like when you go to the doctor with a broken arm. Well, you know you have a broken arm, but the doctor's going to do an X-ray, an MRI, and find out exactly where it's broken. So we designed this so that teachers and fitters can really pinpoint what's wrong with the swing and basically help their player get better. Some people can get really technical with it, but I think it actually helps your feel.
And when you got into this, or when Flight Scope got into this, they'd already been doing, I'm assuming, things other than golf. They came into golf kind of after defense or other applications of Flight Scope.
Yes, sir.
What got them into golf? What got them to think?
So Henry Johnson, our CEO, we're a South African-based South African-based company, and he started in defense. Then he went to cricket and tennis. And he's an avid golfer, and he decided he wanted to bring the technology to golf. So back in 2000, we started working with golf.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of – yeah. So cricket and other South African – what are you showing us? Brendan Sweeney?
This Brendan Sweeney – I'm sorry. He has interrupted our interview with Flight Scope. Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort, French Lick, Indiana, the West Baden Springs Hotel. There's the Pete Dye course, so you're familiar with French Lick. Hey, Brendan. How you doing, buddy?
Really?
He's going to FaceTime us now.
He's FaceTiming us. Okay. We got to go. We really do have to do a serious interview. But it's,
just
I'll
because
call
he
you
calls
back.
Doesn't mean you have to answer.
I'll call you back.
Jeez. We're talking with Alex Trujillo, sales manager with Flight Scope. And you said you've been with him how long?
Going on 5 years.
Do you get to go to a lot of PGA Tour events?
Yes, I go just to
about
everyone.
Do you enjoy that? Oh, do you really?
Yeah, we have two guys that rotate on tour. Actually, me and Tyler are going down to RBC next week. And we work closely with a lot of the players. Actually, last year we had one here. Bryson DeChambeau made his amateur start here last year, and we work pretty closely with him as well as others.
Because it used to be a bit cost prohibitive, didn't it? And now it seems like all the guys have their own personal flight scopes. I mean, you go watch them on the range, and they've all got the equipment. And I'm not saying it's not too expensive, but you see it a lot more than you used to. Have you guys made it to where not only tour pros, but the average guy can take advantage of it?
Yeah, so we used to range from anywhere between $5,000 to $15,000.
Yeah.
Actually, next week we're going to be releasing a consumer model that will be $500.
See, that's what I mean.
Wow.
And actually, I think I'm going to get it tomorrow here, so I'll show it to you guys.
That would be awesome.
You could put it in that backpack right over there.
If you can get it down to $50, I'm in. I'll buy two right now. But no, that's kind of cool. But it's made it, again, I know that the guys on tour may not worry so much about that, spending a lot of money, but it was harder for the average guy to say, I'm going to spend $5,000 to hope that it, you know, kind of helps my game. But right. It's great to see that you guys have brought it down to where the average person can use it.
Yeah. Alex, question. There are other launch monitors on the market, and I'm not going to mention the names because we have FlightScope on. But what sets FlightScope apart from everybody else?
Well, I think we've been doing it the longest, and also we have a lot of experience in defense, and I think that really helps us. One of the biggest keys is that also where we report our information, we report it differently than other launch monitors do. So, again, we try to make it cost-effective and provide our user with the most accurate and, you know, basically the best information they can have, the best tool they can have to get their job done.
Brand ambassadors for FlightScope, can you name them, a few of them, or a couple, or one maybe? I know of one, but can we say his name?
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead. You tell me. Adam Scott, right?
No, we
I thought Adam was FlightScope.
No, we got on tour right now, we got Bryson DeChambeau, we got Brandon Hagee. I mean, there's a whole list. We got Sander Gao, Retief Goose, and Trevor Immelman. There's quite a few out there. I really can't name them all. But again, you know, our market is the PGA Tour.
Right.
The PGA professional. And the fitter, that's kind of the meat of the market that we wanted to get. So, yes, we do have tour players, but we really, you know, our main focus is that bottom tier where all the PGA professionals
are. The PGA teaching professionals, yes, out there. I know a fellow named Barney Owry in Nashville, Tennessee, that uses FlightScope and loves it and raves about it. So,
yeah, currently we have Mike Adams, who's the PGA Teacher of the Year. He's on our board, and he's also a FlightScope user. So we got quite a few guys, but speaking about that consumer one, it's called FlightScope Mevo. They can check it out on our website.
FlightScope
Mevo.
Mevo.
$4.99 pre-order.
FlightScope Mevo.
And yep. What's the website? Just like it sounds?
Yep, FlightScopeMevo.com.
Mevo.com.
FlightScope Mevo.
M-E-V-O. What's that stand for? It's got to have something in it.
You know, you
got to
ask Tyler.
It's got a defense contract, something or other.
You got to put the headset on Tyler and ask him that one.
Tyler,
scream it out. What's that stand for?
My velocity.
Mevo. Oh, Mevo.
Well, my clubhead speed's about 47.5 miles per hour, so I might break your machine in the negative. So.
Alex Trujillo joins us. He's sales manager with FlightScope, and apparently you're also hooked up with Cobra.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Got some friends or something?
Yeah,
there?
Well, my buddy Bryson hooked me up with some apparel.
Man's got to wear something, yeah. Doesn't he? I mean, you got to have something.
No, they're good to us. You know, since we're on tour, they wanted us to wear their clothing, so that's what we did.
Well, wait a minute. We're on tour.
Apparently not close enough.
I got a contact
to the boys.
Really? There you go.
You know,
we'll hold you to that, yeah.
I want that one.
They have that cute trailer on the end up there.
Yeah. That's
it really is
trailer.
Sharp.
That's
a tour trailer.
Yeah. More like a big tour van.
It's cool, though. It's right next to the other company that makes golf clubs.
So Azalea House has you here. Am I right on this one, Chris?
Yep,
you guys you coordinated with them so that they're going to be in the back here so that somebody comes to Azalea House today, tomorrow, the next day, can use all those devices that you have there and the equipment that you have to kind of test this out. A lot of people, I don't think, Frank, really know their ball speed, their flights, and their rotation,
no,
any of that kind of stuff. So to get that information, it depends on what you want to do with it, but to get it, I think, is really important.
But under the guidance of these guys, though, they can come use it, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
Tyler and Alex are going to work with them to explain to them what that's all about.
And Chris, too, because
Chris is intimately
Chris involved with FlightScope, so he'll know, too. But I think when you take all that information down and you can realize now why somebody, I'm just saying average guy, is only hitting the ball 235 yards, because he's hitting way too much spin. And sometimes he's got the wrong club. So we were talking Cobra. Cobra might put too much spin on the ball. It's a great tool to find out if you have the right equipment and the right swing and all the other things without changing too much. It yep. gives you that base that you could say, well, suddenly I changed to a different driver. And because of what I saw in flight scope, I'm now getting 15 yards more on my drives.
Yep.
So it's almost – it really is invaluable. You also have that in a lot of different pro shops in places all over the country?
Yeah, so you can – actually, you can go on our website and hit find a flight scope, and it'll show you – we have about, I think, 8,000 customers in the world. So yeah. you can see any of those locations. You can go and get
a lesson. I need to bring my ball flight down off my driver. And I'm hitting a 9.5. I won't name the brand.
Okay.
But it needs to come down. So, yeah, so I can get on flight scope and it can help me with that.
Yeah, more than likely what's happening is your dynamic loft is a little bit too high. And you might be adding a little bit of loft at impact. But we can tell you exactly what's happening with that loft at impact.
Look at Alex being all big time. He already knows what your problem is. I didn't see you swing.
That's my bag right there. So.
I can tell you exactly what your problem is.
Well, I can't help it. I have that little inside over the top toe pull hook.
I can't imagine how slice. That could be a problem.
Well, if really? You bring it back really inside, you know, then there's no way to get it back.
No.
I mean, you've got to loop it, and that's what I've been doing because of my bad back. It's a car wreck that I had. Have I told you about that car wreck?
You got a backwards Jim Furyk is what you're saying?
Pretty much. That's I watched Jim in the mirror, and I've emulated it now. So.
In
all seriousness, I love to joke around because it's just fun to do this stuff. But Flight Scope's a cool product, and I've been on it one time with Barney.
Okay.
But I can't wait to get out there with you guys this afternoon because Tim Matthews and I are going to have a little driving contest. But he's going to spot me 50 yards because he's younger than I am.
We'll get Will Backus from Canoes to come hit with us too because Will's Mr. 5 handicap.
Yeah, I know. Will,
or
Will
says he is.
And we are all going to have to put on our canoes and swing in them.
We'll put every sponsor we can on and then we'll hit with Flight Scope so we get everybody included.
So you're going to be up at RBC next week. And working with your players, and you know, met Bryson, and he has to be a lot of fun to work with. Tim knows him very well because Tim does a lot of charity work for SMU. Tim's from Dallas, but Bryson he's a smart kid.
Yep.
He's a physicist, or not a physicist, but physics
major.
Physics major.
Yeah.
And so, how is he to work with? As far as I mean, he understands the numbers as well as anybody, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I still remember the first time I met him. I've been doing this for a while, and I felt like I was getting quizzed on every single parameter. He wanted to know what I knew, and he just knows it. I mean, he knows it, and he works hard at it, and he gets those numbers pretty consistent. He's a great ball striker. Hopefully he start making a little bit more putts. I know they're working on that, so I think he's got a good career ahead of him. But, yeah, he's a big flight scope guy, and we're happy to have him on board.
He seems like he'd be perfect because he is so analytical about all that, right, that he not only gets the information. See, if I get it, it just boggles my mind because it's more numbers up there. And I don't really have a lot of room up there for more numbers. He takes it and he knows exactly what those numbers mean and what
he
to
does.
Do with it.
Yeah.
And you're right. We'll see. I mean, he did very well in the split field. I think was it Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico,
where
yes.
he just did real well, very second well. Or third or something, yeah, and had a lead for a while. So we'll see if that translates into him getting some wins on tour. He obviously had an outstanding amateur career.
Yeah.
I think if he does, then it certainly will make other people – rethink a lot of their things about the numbers they use, keeping all their clubs the same length, you know, and it's more upright, and all the things he does that are so different now, people go, well, it worked for him, I guess. We're going to try it.
I still remember him telling me, he asked me a question, well, you know, all my clubs are the same length. They weigh the same. You know, they're all the same swing weight. Why can I swing my 3-iron faster than my wedge? So he went on this full-on explanation about how aerodynamics work on the loft and, you know, the linear forces. I
could help you with that, too.
It was just, I was like, okay.
If you would have come to me first, I could have just cut right to the chase.
It's like talking to NASA when you talk to him.
Yeah.
I mean, it really
is. It's pretty
is.
Cool, though.
When I throw my 3-wood into the pond, why do I have a better release than I do with my wedge? You know, I could give you all that information. I have it all up in there.
Yeah.
Alex Trujillo, sales manager at Flight Scope, and his friend that's very shy in the background, Tyler Burnett with Flight Scope. We appreciate both you guys being with us. Thanks again. Give us the website again if people want to get into the and get one that they can afford or for a gift. It'd be a great gift or a Christmas item or something like that. What's the website?
They can go to flightscope.com or they can go to flightscopemevo, MEVO.com.
If they go to flightscope.com, can they get to MEVO from that
Absolutely.
Too? So
they
to
can
not
go to
make
either
it complicated,
or.
Go to flightscope.com, look up MEVO, which means my velocity. Is that what you said? And by the way, Tyler's a good-looking guy. He's single, and his mobile phone number is 1-904-357-2444.
We've now become a dating service as well. All right, guys, we appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks,
guys.
For your time,
thanks so
guys.
Much.
Appreciate
yeah, flights go. I love using a lot of that stuff. I love using some of that.
I can't wait to get on it.
Yeah,
it's
kind of
be fun.
Because it tells me a lot of things that mess me up, but I need to know what I'm doing wrong and why I'm swinging the way I'm swinging. All right, stick around. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. We are live at the Azalea House in Augusta, Georgia on Friday, round two, about midway through round two of the Masters Tournament here at Augusta National. Frank and I will be back on Golf Talk America right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews, London, Frank Bassett coming to you once again from the Azalea House in Augusta, Georgia, just outside the front gates of Augusta National, site of the Masters. The 81st Masters, we're just kind of rounding up. The final groups are out on the course now, but they're making the turn, so they still have a couple hours out there to complete the second round. We'll see where everything stands after the second round. Right now they're saying that the cut could be made as high as 6 over. Seriously, Frank, there was no win for like 2 straight hours.
I know, and here it is.
Suddenly, as soon as we go on, God starts breathing heavy on us.
It's a hurricane. It's a hurricane here.
And so anyway, we'll keep you updated. Right now, it is still a two-man race at top of the leaderboard, and that is between Charlie Hoffman and Sergio Garcia, both at 4 under par, but enough guys are out there, including Ricky Fowler. Phil Mickelson even is hanging in there, that there could be a little bit more of a log jam at the top of the leaderboard when it's all said and done. Joining us now is Scott Giles. Scott is the CEO of Heritage Synthetic Turf, on which we sit right now,
We're sitting on that, and we're putting on it in front of our
the set here. Scott, how you doing?
Great, Tim.
And how long have you been doing this?
About 20 years.
20 years, and it's always been synthetic turf?
Always been synthetic turf.
But it's gone through a lot of different changes, hasn't it? Any different from what we're talking about here, synthetic turf, and what you might see at a college or high school or professional football stadium or other sports?
There's a lot of differences in those type turfs. The turfs that we use for putting greens and lawns and croquet courts and that type thing is a lot more specialized.
Okay.
The football fields, for example, from the stands look realistic. But if you walk right up on it, it looks a little more fake. Mm-hmm. Whereas the turf we use, you can get right on it and it still looks pretty realistic and plays realistic.
Do you know that our good friend Laura Bryna, artist from Los Angeles, who is with us this week, same stuff. This is in her backyard around her pool.
Yeah, a lot of people I've noticed that, I guess, just don't want the maintenance, don't want the hassles, and don't worry about the weather and everything else, have gone to almost complete yards, if not complete yards, but certainly in certain parts of their yard with the synthetic turf. It looks really good.
Yeah, the largest growing segment of our business is lawns.
Yeah.
And pet areas, because we have a specialized buddy turf that we use for pets.
So brings up the question about bogey.
How does that work?
Now,
clear that up. Bogey is the official mascot of Golf Talk America. He's my miniature schnauzer. Okay. Bogey the Wonder Dog.
You go, let's clear that up.
Let's clear that up. I love
Bogey. Because we don't want to disparage
because
Bogey.
I don't make bogeys. You know? Bogey gets upset.
So how does that work with animals? Can you even describe that? Or, I mean, it does work, though, one way or another.
It does work. We do a lot of residential homes who have pets. In fact, my Labrador Buddy is our spokesperson.
Buddy and Bogey.
You'll see his picture on some of our signs and on our website. And he's the spokesman for Buddy Turf. And the pet turf is a little different than the lawn turf because you have to have the installation has to be specific so that it drains well so you can keep it clean, but it works like a charm. One of the other large segments of our business is the kennel and the veterinarians who are coming on.
I bet.
We're doing a lot of those as we speak.
And you're out of South Carolina, so you're not far from here at all.
We're from South Carolina. We're 94 miles from here, 2-hour drive, but we work all over the country.
Now, do you work with some professional golfers and a lot of golfers that want these facilities, if you will, and the grasses in their yards or their practice area of their yard?
We do with professionals. We this year have put in a green for Matt Kuchar, who we really pull for in the tournament here. Yeah. We've done a lot of colleges. University of Louisville is one. Wallace State in Alabama. Guilford College in North Carolina, so a lot of different colleges and private schools, St. Xavier in Louisville also. that we've worked with.
Because I've even noticed that people that I know that have this facility or have synthetic grasses in their backyard for a putting green have really come a long way, because it used to be, Frank, you know, if you had a putting green in your backyard, it was just a flat piece of turf. And you could putt, but right. It was pretty much one putt.
Right.
Right. And just different lengths. You've got it now where you've got terrain that rolls back and forth. I mean, you can set it up in the green and have 50 different looks at different putts with all the ways you guys can construct it now, right?
Different looks, different putts, different speeds.
Yeah.
We have a lot of different materials based on whether you want to just putt or hit into the shot. So we actually work with the client from design to full installation based on what you're trying to accomplish.
So you can replicate a green, basically. If I want TPC Sawgrass number 10, the green on number 10.
I can.
Which is a little tough and scary to get into.
Right.
You can replicate that.
With a real bunker, USG specs, the drainage like it's supposed to have.
So USGA specs, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some of these. And some golf courses that I've been around in their office when they're just building and trying to get memberships going up, but they're just building their golf courses. They have them in the office just to kind of while they're talking to people.
Yeah.
And it's like addicting. I mean, you can't not, because you're like, you can't make this putt. You're like, oh, I can. And it's got a 4-foot break in it or something.
The Braves you never clubhouse
leave. Yeah.
In Atlanta has a putting green. And they have a replica of Amen Corner, or the mural back there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They mean,
a lot of the customers will have a lot of input on our design. And some customers want a tough green. Some want a reasonable green. Some want in between.
Begs the question. Have you had some customers who want you to put something in that only they know exactly how they can putt that thing?
Absolutely.
I thought that. Bunch of cheaters.
Make some money.
And they pay for the green.
They'll put in putts that'll have double breaks and will be deceiving as far as reading it, but they can learn that putt, and it's hard to beat them.
So give us an idea for the people that are listening. First of all, the website is heritagesynthetic.com. Turf.com. Am I saying it right?
That's right.
HeritageSyntheticTurf.com. Mm-hmm. For people that want to check it out, go there. But give them an idea from a price standpoint. It's a per foot, per square foot, per yard kind of cost. Some people do a whole yard. I guess it could be kind of expensive.
It could be. The lawn turf usually per square foot is less expensive than a custom putting green. Lawn turf can be anywhere from $8 to $10 a square foot turnkey. Some customers may have construction going on where there's a landscaper already in place with equipment that can do part of the base work, so they can adjust the price there. On putting greens, normally $12 to $15 a square foot turnkey. That's from design to
To prep it, to build it, everything.
Because I've seen, I come from Dallas and live in Dallas, and it's a bit of a drier climate, and we go through a lot of droughts. And I've seen even businesses – and some people, obviously, too, who say, you know, the heck with watering. I get tired of waiting, and I don't want my water bill. And, of course, they limit how much you can water. But I've seen a lot of businesses that have done that for their front office area, and it looks beautiful year-round. It looks so good because, again, they don't want to hire somebody to come and mow it and put fertilizer down, all the things you have to do, and then go through a drought, and you're like, we can't keep it, and it dies and looks terrible. So the synthetic grass is a way to go.
We've done hotels, car dealerships.
Yeah.
We have one hotel who every year has an ice rink in their front lawn, a full-size ice rink. We go in and we take our turf up in November, and they have ice rink through the winter, and in February we put the turf back every year.
Is that right?
I bet that hotel's not Miami Beach.
Very cool. Might be. It'd be kind of a unique little thrill
it's
there
in Greenville, actually, and believe me.
Greenville, South Carolina?
They have a system that keeps it frozen.
Really?
Yeah, but that's cool.
That's funny. That's really funny. No, I bet that's cool.
I didn't mean that, but I'm saying for a place that doesn't get a lot of ice, it probably would work better than in Minneapolis.
We actually went in there and designed a base for them that is conducive for the lawn turf and for the ice rink.
Really?
We're talking with Scott Giles with Heritage Synthetic Turf. And so it's a business 20 years, and you've seen a heck of a lot of changes and an evolution in 20 years of doing it.
Lots of changes. 20 years ago, we didn't have the lawn turfs that we have now. It was more like the sports turf that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
But now the lawn turfs are really improved, really realistic looking. And we even have multicolors We even have brown thatch that goes in there, which actually.
So you could replicate the Open Championship course in my backyard.
Yeah.
Which it already looks like that.
That's right.
So I need your help.
Well, I don't know what we're sitting on here, Scott, but this looks pretty good.
What is this that we're on? Our whole stage is done with your turf.
Is this some kind of a, this is a, what people are putting in their yard?
This is one of the top turfs that they're putting in their yard.
You know there are no weeds.
That's right.
There are no, unlike my backyard.
There would be in mine. Yeah, I'd be the only one to get weeds to come up through there.
And, well, Scott, you've done the turf. We have here at Azalea House, AzaleaHospitality.com, whose sign has blown over Chris Domain on the back wall over there. That was my prompter.
Yeah.
So there. But you've done the, for FlightScope, our guest and friends here, you've done their hitting bays behind Azalea House.
We do a lot of golf course tee boxes. In fact, the Heritage Tournament that is coming up next week, if you're there and you look on their practice tee, that's our easy tee on their practice tee.
Cool.
And they liked it so much, we did all the Sea Pines courses.
And a lot of courses are doing that, Frank, are putting the synthetic tees on their practice range, because a lot of people get there and hack it up, right? I mean, they don't hit the ball that well, and they got to constantly move the tee box for the practice range.
Because let
the grass grow back. If you have this, you don't even have to worry about that. So
cool stuff.
Yeah, it's a good time to be.
And we
in
met
the
your son here today. Is he part of the company also?
He is.
He's a nice young man.
Thank you.
Nice young man. But this guy's worked his fanny off to help us this week. He even put an additional putting green in front of our stage.
Yeah, I know. And people were just had a little gambling going on.
Well, there was some gambling going on out in front of us during the show.
That's the putting green, and this is the yard green. This is what they used to putt on when Bobby Jones first built Augusta.
That's right.
Yeah. It was about that long, right? And you'd see those guys putt back then.
Therefore, the reasoning for the wrist pop.
Oh,
wrist pop.
They used to hit it like they were hitting a 3-iron, you know, for a 10-foot putt back then. So
my understanding is, by the way, off of his turf, I dropped a ball in the net back there with FlightScope behind me a minute ago and hit a pure 9-iron with Danny Medina, who is the director of golf operations for the Omni Tucson Resort in Tucson, Arizona. You'd think it's Scottsdale? No, Tucson. Anyway, I flew the net. Perfect shot. Little draw on it, just a hair.
Flew
the net, and I'm in somebody's house or backyard or car. But
you
hit off his turf back there a minute ago with a driver.
They didn't have short enough tees, so I had to tee it up really high, and I was not quite adept at getting.
He tags it.
Even with the ball, my driver went over the net, which is hard to do because the net's 5 feet in front of you.
And that's going to drill into the side of a car.
No, it went straight up. It's still going. I mean, that thing was, that was one of the goofiest
shots. And the wind was behind us.
Yeah, it was. I got a little distance out of it. Yeah, it was really weird.
Hey, Scott, you've been great for us this week, and we appreciate everything you've done. I'm sure the Azalea House people, I know they appreciate it.
Thank you for
our listeners out there, they need to go to heritagesyntheticturf.com. And check you out. And every man needs a putting green in his backyard. I'm telling you, they do. I'm getting one, aren't I?
Or
coming to Nashville.
That's right.
You got Christmas coming up, Father's Day or something. Yeah, just a little. Yeah. You don't need the whole yard. You could just
put a small one. Like we did back here. We have a small one back here.
And that way your wife gets you out of the house.
And by the way, he's on your green. Here's how pure your green is back there. I'm on in the hitting bay. I see Tim on the green putting. And you're looking up, hot dogging with everybody, and say, "I'll just close my eyes and make this putt."
Wow.
And you made about a 20-footer across the green.
It wasn't 20 feet, but yeah, I know. It's because they're so pure. You could close your eyes, and I could read that putt. It was beautiful. Hey, Scott, thanks so much. We appreciate your time, and best of luck again. It's Heritage Synthetic Turf. It's heritagesyntheticturf.com to go to their website and find out more about them. Thanks, Scott. We'll talk to you
soon.
Thanks,
Scott. We appreciate it, buddy.
Pleasure.
All right, well,
we're
about to put this one to bed here, Frank.
Tired, but you know what we haven't talked about and we need to talk about again?
And we'll get to it. One more second.
Okay.
It's Charlie and Sergio still on top of the leaderboard, so nothing new has happened. But Ricky Fowler still on the course,
has basically
the back nine to go, and he is only one shot back. So things could change before Saturday's round. And it looks like, again, the cut's somewhere around six over. So a lot of guys are going to be getting in on the weekend.
Don't you think, though, Tim, that Sergio Garcia right now is an odd zone, I mean,
curled up in a ball?
Yeah, pretty much. Favorite. I mean, everybody wants – Sergio's such a nice person. Everybody
would
love to see him win a major championship.
He's come close a lot of times. But, again,
there's Ricky.
And Phil's far. You know, there's going to be so many guys going into Saturday and Sunday that, as you can see, Sergio picked up six shots on Charlie Hoffman today. That's in one day. Picked up six
shots. He didn't pick up six. Charlie gave him a bunch of shots.
So, you know, things can be adjusted pretty quickly. Go ahead. You want to?
And hopefully the wind is going to die down because I'm windburned, sunburned.
Your toupee keeps coming off.
I don't know, but
It's embarrassing.
A great friend of ours, Mike Zeisman, is the CEO of Golf Genius Software. Mike has a long historic past with software. So he came up with a couple of ideas, and Golf Genius now is used by head pros to manage 2 million rounds of golf in 2016. To ensure the success of their customers, they deliver a reliable, consistently enhanced product and offer fast and knowledgeable customer support to help them set up and run perfect events every time. Golf Genius Software, a great sponsor of ours here at Golf Talk America, at the Azalea House, and here for the week at in Augusta. So thank you, Golf Genius Software. We'll be having some of their professionals and users on the show through the weekend. We're trying to get it's logistically kind of tough when we're on live remote to get callers.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get some of the PGA professionals or people that might be here to come down to Azalea House and jump on the show with us.
Looking forward to it.
And maybe stick them out there on
it's the kind of software anybody could
Scott
use,
screens.
Whether you're doing a professional tournament like the one going on right behind us here, or if it's just you and your buddies or the local club, you use Golf Genius Software, and it just makes everything run so much smoother. And aren't we all tired when you play in these golf tournaments? It takes forever for those guys to come back in the
scores. It turns into a fight.
Yeah, you're like, it can't take that long to add up numbers, can it? So these guys will make that all simple for you.
So, hey, what are you going to do tonight?
I have no idea.
Are you going to cook steak?
Is there a plan?
Our pool.
I don't want a steak.
Our pool at our house here is
it's getting warmer. Now you're going to say it's at 85 degrees.
It's at 85 degrees today. I asked them to turn it up just a touch
more.
Unfortunately,
it's 52 outside, so.
It's okay. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
You know what we're going to look like?
But the Tucson, the guys from Omni Tucson have invited us over for a big cookout at their house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe we could do that.
Salmon, lobster, steak. Silver oak.
You're just saying this.
No, I'm not. They just invited us. Silver oak.
They got all that there?
Is the wine tonight? Yes.
Do I have to go in the pool?
You're going in the pool one way or another.
Somebody mentioned skinny dipping earlier, and I'm just not.
No.
I'm not
going
to agree to anything just yet.
No, we're not doing that. But we're having a blast, and for our listeners out there, you already know we're on pghtour.com/podcast. But go out to Golf Talk America on Twitter and follow us at Golf Talk America. Go to Facebook, Golf Talk America. And follow us. We want to give some things away, and we got a lot of stuff to give away.
We do, and we go to a lot of places, so you can kind of live through the tour through us.
Yeah,
you know, because we go all over the place.
Anyway, okay,
we can do it. So anyway,
fun day.
Yep, we've had a great day. We do appreciate everybody for joining us, and that includes Alex Trujillo.
There you go. Flights go.
We do appreciate Scott Giles right here with Heritage Synthetic Turf. All the great people here at Azalea House. For Frank, I'm Tim. We appreciate you guys being here, and we'll be back tomorrow. We normally aren't on the weekends, but it's kind of a big day. It's kind of a big tournament, so we're going to be here both Saturday and Sunday with shows right here from the Azalea House at the Masters. Join us then. Until then, have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.